And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is caution and precaution. Each of my guests is explaining why we should be cautious and take precautions in his or her subject. My next guest is a hospice worker who will help us shatter the myth that death is sad and horrible. We'll examine what she's learned from years of counseling dying people from her latest book, Dying to Live, Embracing the Journey. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because I'll be giving away two sandwiches or two salads right now to Urbane Cafe just in time for lunch. Two locations to serve you, one in Ventura, one in Oxnard, and I'll give that away to the fourth caller at 639-0008. My next guest, Joanne Harvey, shatters the illusion that death has to be sad. It can be challenging and sometimes difficult, but with hospice support, it can also be powerful beyond belief. With 25 years as a hospice social worker, she's an advocate for terminally ill patients and their families. Joanne currently lives in rural Northern California with her husband, their two dogs, and their two cats. In addition to her writing, photography, and public speaking, Joanne continues to work for a local hospice. She also provides emotional freedom techniques to an international client. She holds a bachelor's degree in psychology, a master's degree in social work, and a meridian tapping. And she is a meridian tapping practitioner. Welcome to the show, Joanne. How are you today?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on board. And I got to say, right off the bat, that I view the end of life with both fear and anxiety. So I'm a little bit nervous even about this conversation that we're going to have. I'm facing it on a personal level in my own life too. My father's 91 years old. And you, as a hospice worker, you've seen it all. So how do you comfort different families, different people, each with their own philosophical, religious, and even life view about death? Because death is the only constant that we all have in life. So what's your technique? How do you do that?
Well, and you are absolutely right about that. There's not one of us that gets out of here alive. And so what I do, and I honor every belief, is go with a matter-of-fact kind of system of saying, okay, this is what's happening. Let's educate. Let's get as much knowledge as possible. I think that if you were to talk to your father about how he feels about first about his life and review some of those things, it starts that conversation that he can start talking about the end of his life too. I find that if we give people the opportunity to really talk about it, I find that there's not as much fear. It's more fear of what's going to happen, is it going to be painful, that kind of thing, versus the fear of actually crossing over.
All right. Now, I mean, that's interesting, and asking the person who's dying about all of those things is important, but I guess the crux of my problem, and I believe many other people's problems, Joanne, is the uncertainty of knowing. Yes, there's that fear of, is it going to be painful, and so forth. But, I mean, what is it's the uncertainty of the other side. We know today. We know what it's like to live, good, bad, or indifferent. We know that.
Yes.
What's it like not to live? That's the bigger question. And I would think that a lot of people who are facing dying, who know that they're terminally ill, would be challenged with that. How do you cope with that?
Well, you know, not worrying about what is, it's like thinking about what is going to happen tomorrow. Certainly, there's a lot of life, and we can expect what's going to happen, but I would ask them to go into their belief system, whatever belief system that is, and really explore that, because we all, no matter what belief system we seem to have, we all have some consistencies, some beliefs that are common to each one of us, and there is a lot of comfort in our belief systems. If you've had a belief system your whole life, then certainly it's something that you can fall back on and that you can rely on. I don't find that people really focus on the unknown of death. It's the knowledge of where they are. And as they get closer to death, they really find or figure out what their true belief is.
All right. My guest is Joanne Harvey. Her book is Dying to Live, Embracing the Journey. And she's really making it easy to talk about a very difficult subject. And I said right at the top, Joanne, I'm not good with death at all.
Sure.
You know, as I approach the end of life situation, I might be inclined to self-medicate with alcohol like the two siblings did in your book. Tell the story about these two siblings who started out by drinking and popping pills as their mother approached death. And by the end of that time, how they were on the road to sobriety, because I think that's an interesting story.
You know, every single person has a really interesting journey during the death of a loved one or their death of themselves. And these two kids were not paying any attention to their mother as she lay on the couch and was actually in her process of dying. One chose one way. One chose the lifestyle of drugs and alcohol. The other one, the young man, who I wouldn't have given a plum nickel for, he really found the man inside of him, and he was able to turn around his life and stop drinking and provide the care that his mother truly needed. But also a very important part of it was there were two young teenagers in the household, and he took responsibility for them. And now at this point, these kids are in college, and he's working as a mechanic and doing his best to put them through college.
And, Joanne, what was the catalyst that brought him to this revelation that actually turned him around?
I think seeing the frailty of his life and his mother. And if for me it was, I continued to ask him, if not now, when? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to reach the point where you can stand in the fire and be the man that you've always wanted to be? And I continue to visit with him just as a person in the community, and it was seeing his mother needing the help that she needed, and all the other stuff that had happened to him fell to the wayside, and he was able to stand up and say, I'm not going to allow my mother to suffer any longer.
Well, it's definitely a heartwarming story, one of many from the book Dying to Live. Now, Joanne, if there's a person that I want to be as the time comes near, that's got to be Pearl from your book. I mean, she sensed that the end was near, when she would die, and she started making plans for it. So how common is someone like Pearl who is that realistic, that almost pragmatic in the face of death? And what did Pearl's experience, what was Pearl's experience in the last days of her life for my listeners?
It was a remarkable experience for me, just because I saw her from the start of this journey all the way for the 5 days that it took her to pass. And she actually had visitors that had crossed over call her, speaking her name, and tell her that she was going to leave on Friday. And during the 5 days that she had until she passed, she was a very healthy woman of 97 years old, but during that time, I tell the story of her epiphanies and her conversations with these spirits that were coming over to her, and it was like she was having a party in the room. And truly, I find that very common. I've been with about 2,000 people that have crossed over, and when somebody gets closer to their time of dying or crossing over, I find that there is a lot of conversations with spirits that have passed.
Really?
And you can believe it or not, I just see this. I think that spirits that have crossed over gather in welcoming the new spirit that's coming over.
Delusional, or do you think it's real? I mean, I'm asking now for your personal point of view on this.
I realize that, and you know, I do not find it delusional at all. I find a lot of these people choose not to be medicated. There's no medication. Mm. Pearl, as an example, mm-hmm. There was no reason to medicate her. She wasn't in pain. Her body was just closing down or shutting down. So there was no pain involved. So she was very clear. And I always do an assessment of somebody. It's called oriented. And I do this assessment, and these people, there was no delusion that was involved. And certainly sometimes people are very medicated, and they still come out and they're talking to someone who has crossed over.
My guest is Joanne Harvey, author of the book Dying to Live. And Joanne, in the story of Pearl, I mean, you mentioned she was a very young 97-year-old, but there's a lot of substance behind that age, because as medical science advances and as the baby boom generation begins to get old and start to pass away as well, we're going to have not only people living to be 97 and possibly even beyond that, well into their hundreds, but also we're going to be living as a group and dying as a group in mass numbers starting at about 10 to 15 years. So talk to me about hospice. Talk to me a little bit about the needs that, that hospice provides to dying people, and how is hospice going to manage all of us dying, living to these older ages and dying as we are in throngs?
Well, you know, we can expand or contract as the numbers increase, but all of your listeners, I would really encourage every single person that's listening to this radio station to get an advance directive. That's an is something that you name an agent to be able to speak for you if you can't speak for yourself, because there's a lot of things. Education is power, and there's a lot of things that are a lot worse than dying, and that may be extended care. It might be extended treatments. It might be being put on a respirator or not being resuscitated. It's all of those different choices. All that is really important for every single listener to make a decision. How do I want to be cared for when I am ready to die?
Ah.
And always have someone that you're talking to about it who can speak for you, because you don't want strangers to be making decisions for yourself.
You certainly don't. And an advance directive is an important document to have, but it brings up the even more important subject of how do parents initiate this talk with their children, or if the parents won't initiate it, how do the children initiate the talk with their parents, or how do even spouses initiate this kind of conversation? Because it's not a subject that people want to deal with directly.
You're right. You know, and it's not uncommon for people to already have advance directive. It's usually triggered by somebody. You see someone that's injured in a very bad motorcycle accident, and nobody was there to make decisions for them. No one could make decisions for them. So the medical profession is making decisions for them, and maybe other people knew that that person didn't want those things that were done to them. So it can be started just by a conversation. You see it on the news. You have personal experience, because you're going through this right now with your father. You probably, anyone that's over 18 years old should have one, and it can change. You can change your agent as you live through your life. But to go back to tell you how hospice will deal with people is, we deal with people as total individuals. Everybody is a snowflake, and all we are is a support team to be able to help them enhance their life and live the best lives they possibly can to the end of their life. Actually, people that are on hospice live better and have higher quality of life. You know, when their doctor thinks that they have 6 months or less to live, they live better. One guy I just sent on a trip to go salmon fishing, his doctor thinks that he has 6 months or less, and I have a tendency to believe that he doesn't have much longer to live, but he's living every single day to the best he possibly can.
And that's perhaps the main message of your book, Dying to Live, Embracing the Journey. I'm talking with author Joanne Harvey. Joanne, in the bio, it also says that you're a meridian tapping practitioner.
Yes.
What is a meridian tapping practitioner?
I work with your meridians, and they're the electrical currents on your body, and we have a lot of memories, a lot of blocked emotions that get stuck in our body, and you have a tendency to express them in physical ways, like sore shoulders or a sore neck or a headache or anger, and I work with releasing those, because really all your emotions are inside jobs anyway.
Every emotion is an inside job. My guest is Joanne Harvey. And we have two more sandwiches or salads to give away from Urbane Cafe. Be the fourth caller, 639-0008. You can win those sandwiches or salads just in time for today's lunch. Now, Joanne, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Dying to Live?
I would really like for readers to be empowered to really believe that they can do this, that this is something we plan births, we plan weddings, we plan vacations. We should also be able to plan this. This is a very important part of our life. It's a very important part to our relatives' life. And the more you talk about it, the more you educate your family, the easier it is for them to recover also. It's easier for me to provide grief support to someone that they've talked about the death. Death is hard to deal with for the people of the survivors. So preparing your family and really truly living the very best that they possibly can right now is wonderful. But also, when you need the help, to call hospice. And at the end of my book also, I have a lot of different resources. Maybe somebody's not prepared or ready for hospice yet, but they just need that extra help. You can find those resources in the back of the book, too.
Oh, it is a great resource. I'm talking to the author, Joanne Harvey, author of the book, Dying to Live, Embracing the Journey. Joanne, if people want to know more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would direct them to go to my website, which is dyingtolivestories.
That's dying, D-Y-I-N-G, to livestories.com. It has been a great pleasure. Thank you, Joanne, for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.